Christian Rob McGregor welcome you to a place where all kinds of phenomena flourish. Voices whisper, ancient secrets, signs and symbols are abundant. UFOs, ETs, ghosts, and even the dead move about freely. Here we meet authors, researchers, and investigators of the mysterious, the strange, and of the inexplicable anomalies that surround us. Step out of the everyday world and take a journey into the mystical underground.
Welcome to the Mystical Underground. Thank you for joining us. This is Trish McGregor.
And Rob McGregor.
And our tech magician producer, John Posey. You can go to mysticalunderground.com where we make regular blog posts and where you can find out more about our books. Our most recent nonfiction book is The Shift, Reports from the Mystical Underground. Trish's latest novel is White Crows, and Rob's latest novel is Tulpas.
Our guest today is Mirabai Devi, who is an international spiritual teacher and a conduit of the Divine Feminine or Divine Mother. She is a healer and author of Samadhi, Essence of the Divine, and the founder of Mirabai Devi Foundation, which is dedicated to her mission of raising world consciousness through the awakening and healing of humanity. Mirabai was born in Johannesburg, South Africa, and she often travels about the world to speak at festivals and spiritual conferences. Welcome, Mirabai.
Yay.
Thank
you. Got you.
Yes, finally. We've been trying for months and months.
We have, in South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, Mira, what is your origin story? When did you realize that you were gifted and different? And when did you realize you were a healer? Can you go into that?
Yes, thank you. Well, 3 years old is when I started to talk to fairies and angels and light beings, and I started to sense invisible presences around me. I described 12 spiritual masters standing around my bed at night. They all had the same eyes, one set of eyes. And I said to them, how come you all have the same eyes and the same expression in your eyes? And they said, because we are one. And this is oneness. And one day you will come to know and understand and experience this also.
Wow.
Well, fast forward at 17 years old, I became vegetarian. I started having astral travel experiences. I'm sure you've had many people on the show talking about astral travel.
Yeah.
And I was going outside of my body, looking down at my body through a rainbow bridge, hearing the choirs of angelic beings sing. And started to travel to different planets and dimensions, doing the spiritual work. And that's when I was shown, oh, that's my body lying down there on the bed. You mean I'm not my body? And that's really where it all began at 17. By 19, I stopped talking for 1 year and took between 19 and 20 years old. I took a year where I only spoke essential speak. And I said, I want to get answers and guidance directly from within. And spent a year listening to internal guidance and quietening the mind. After that, I took off on a tour around Europe, the UK, and India, and the Middle East to study with teachers, masters, and healers from all over the world of every different religion and spiritual tradition. And during that time began the awakening of Samadhi. Samadhi is what my book is about. It's where I teach from the higher states of consciousness. And that's where the healing gift was given, was in India in 1992. And that is quite a story.
Yeah, boy, that is a story. Before Easter.
Go ahead. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
So today's Easter. And what does the ascension mean to you?
The ascension means to me that the Christ is not just embodied in the divine avatar of Yeshua, but the Christ consciousness is inside of each and every one of us. And that we are here during this time of great awakening and this age or golden age of light to actually awaken to our own inner Christ consciousness, which means really not only the ascension of the human souls that are ready to go back home to the light, but also of our beautiful Mother Gaia and her ascension. So I believe that Yeshua was an incredibly gifted Siddha or perfected avatar that had come to role model and seed the light into the planet, and through his ascension into heaven and taking that experience or that form or that apparition that appeared to Mary Magdalene and to the other closest. This form of the light body is actually showing us that we all have the ability to ascend and to experience our light body, which is beyond the human form or beyond the 3D matrix. And that each one of us, he was a role model for each one of us, has the ability to experience our light body and to really work diligently towards our ascension, which means the ascension from being locked into only understanding ourselves as a personality or a body, but rather ascending into, I would say, into a Christ consciousness or a fifth dimensional consciousness or a cosmic consciousness or a unity consciousness, however you want to call it, where my Father and I are one, where we are one with the divine. And in that consciousness, we have access to infinite possibilities. We have access to the understanding that there's only one being, there's only one self, and that one self is inside of everyone, everywhere, everything. And that's so vast, it takes us a spiritual awakening on the ascension path to really understand and grasp that, because the mind can't get it. It just can't get it.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how that would go over with the evangelicals. No, that's true. their view is a little more narrow, it seems. limited to one person or one entity.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but the reality is that there have been, and there still are, so many awakened masters and siddhas and perfected beings. There are even immortals that are living in India that are thousands of years old. And that, yes, that are living in the Himalayas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this is all about the laws of nature. It's when beings reach a certain state of consciousness, they're able to transcend the laws of nature and do things that other beings don't do and experience things that other beings don't know about.
Right. I'd like to.
Have you met? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I wanted her to talk about what happened to her in 1992, but before she does that, I just wanted to, just about your past, what were your parents like? Were they spiritual people, or and how does that play for people who are in, you know, working on their spiritual guidance and higher light?
Yeah, the great question, Rob. So yeah, I was born into a Judeo-Christian family. So my father was a Jewish atheist. My brothers were going to a religious Jewish school in Johannesburg, South Africa. My mom rebelled and became a Catholic when I was three and was a sort of left the Jewish tradition and was sort of hiding, I guess one could say, for lack of a better word. She was hiding her Christian Catholic awakening. Because it wasn't allowed in the Jewish community. Huh. And so, yes. And so she became a Catholic and she took me to church. And so I grew up with both Christianity and Judaism, mother, father, brothers, me, right? Ah. So there was quite the experience of balance in those traditions. And then I went along and added to that my own thing. Huh. And so right now I have a rainbow family. My oldest brother is married to a Muslim lady. My second oldest brother is a Christian, very strict Christian. And my third oldest brother is a very nice Jewish doctor. And my youngest brother is a very highly advanced yogi and humanitarian leader.
Wow. That's a mix.
How do they relate
sure
to you?
No. Yeah. Well, actually, I think we're all in respect and honor of each other's paths, whether we say it or not. Some choose to keep quieter about it than others. but we are a rainbow United Nations of religions in our family. Yes. And I'm the universalist, so I tend to support everybody's choice and path and wishes without judgment. And so I really believe that one can teach those who want to be taught, awaken those that want to be awakened. And as they say in the Sufi tradition, don't awaken the sleepwalker.
Okay.
Do you feel that you chose this situation before you were born into this life?
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, I know that I did.
How about past lives? Were you aware of any past lives that relate to this one?
Yes, I've actually working with two or three predominant. I've seen about maybe 70 different past lives that I've had. Yeah, and there's three predominant ones, which I can't really talk about on air because they're pretty interesting. And they were all in training for the karma that I came to complete in this lifetime. And two of them are very similar to what I'm doing in this lifetime. So I was fully trained and prepared for this.
Do you ever see your future life?
I have not seen my future life as such, but that's a great question. But I do see life between lives. I've been seeing life between lives since I was since I had my awakening when I was 22 years old, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. But what I was going to say is that I'm also an interdimensional guide, which means I take people when they cross over into different realms and dimensions, purgatory realms or heavenly realms. I'm a deliverer of spirits or souls. And what I see is I see all the different inner worlds or inner planes or dimensions that people go between lifetimes. And then I've seen a lot of my past lives and work with them extensively because I really believe that we are here to clear the karma that we were born with. And we have this divine opportunity to clear it in this lifetime. And it's usually an accumulation of what's left over. So in my last lifetime, I was headed towards the light when I left my body and I thought I was done. And I was going to the light. And I said, okay, that's it. I finished. I completed all of my karma. I'm done. I'm merging with the light. I'm going home. And then all of a sudden, I had this memory when I was a child and throughout my life where I was said, do you want to drop into a body in a city in the 21st century where you're going to experience enlightenment in the midst of total chaos and darkness and duality? We're going to drop you into that experience. And I was shot down a chute or a tunnel and I went bumping into a body and I was a very unhappy baby. No.
Crybaby. One question about your past lives: have they been both men and women? And
yes,
okay,
yeah. Yes, both men and women. Yes, yep, definitely, yeah, and very similar, doing very similar things to what I'm doing now. In fact, in my book Samadhi, I talk about that it takes a lot of spiritual practice to attain higher states of consciousness, unless you've had them in the life sort of before this one, or, everything's happening simultaneously at the same time. Mind can't grasp that, okay? Everywhere, everything, all at once. But if you break it into frames, I like to use the expression of the wheel, the wheel and the hub of the wheel, and the wheel has the spokes that go out to all the little parts. So each one of those spokes of the wheel is a different lifetime. Right. And all of them can join into the center where you are now in the present. And when you change what's happening here in the present, it moves into all the other timelines and changes those other timelines also.
That makes
and
sense.
I call that work timeline jumping. And that's what I'm working with right now. As I'm working on changing people's present reality and futures through going through the spokes of the wheel into their other lifetimes and influencing their other lifetimes and clearing the karma from their other lifetimes, watching the future change either for themselves or their soul group or their family or even an entire country.
Wow. Mm. How do you change? How do you do that? In five steps.
Step number one, bring in the light. Always bring in the light. Step number two, I let the soul reveal its records to me, records of its other lifetimes. when you it's only going to reveal the lifetimes where there is trauma that's held in a particular scenario, situation, body part, story. When you go into that reality and you release what happened and heal it or bring forgiveness to it or unfreeze the trauma around it, and that soul then gets liberated from that lifetime, that liberation or the freedom of that soul, because sometimes the soul doesn't cross over, right? The soul gets trapped here on the earth plane, stuck and frozen in trauma, in fight, flight, or freeze. And they're still working through things, and they don't necessarily work through it in a purgatory realm. They may be working through it in the earth, on the earth, right? And what happens is when they're stuck is that when you do that work, they release and they cross over. Or if they're in a purgatory realm, they may release and go into a higher dimension or a higher realm, because you can't go into a higher realm or dimension until you've released that that trauma or that pain or that karma or that negative energy. Then they go into a higher place or higher dimension, and sometimes they choose to reincarnate, because very often, actually, to work through the next piece. And so how did I start telling you about all this? I'm getting into a whole tangent here.
That's all right. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
Let me ask you one. I know, because that's how you release the present. Uh-huh. So then fast forward into the present, that knee pain goes away, that back pain goes away, that long-term chronic illness goes away, that long-term chronic injury goes away. Because why? You've cleared the karma around it. And I see it again and again and again. I see the most incredible, amazing physical healing miracles almost on a weekly basis because we're clearing what's causing them. And that's where the timeline works. And then it clears that lifetime too, which impacts other lifetimes. And then the soul evolution is quantum leaping, and the soul is in a whole new place now.
Okay, you mentioned a purgatory. That's very Catholic.
Yeah, so the purgatory realms are, it's like this. The purgatory realms are the dimensions where we're working through different lessons and before we graduate to the higher dimensions. So if you want to call the higher dimension the causal realm or the heavenly realm, it's not intended to be a Catholic term. It's just a terminology that's sort of a catch-all phrase for infinite dimensions where souls are working through things or studying or learning or growing or evolving.
So it's not punishment like in Catholicism.
No, that's not a punishment. No, no, it's dwelling places. I always like to say there are as many dimensions on the inner planes and there are as many worlds as there are grains of sand on all of the beaches on the earth combined. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Could you tell us about what happened to you in 1992, and how old were you at that point when this experience happened?
She said 22.
Yeah, great. That's right, Trish. I was 22 years old. And I had been sharing with you how I was studying from 21 to 22. I was studying with many different spiritual teachers, priests, yogis, Buddhists, Christians, Muslims, Sufis, Hindu avatars, living in ashrams in India, living in kibbutzes in Israel. I basically was absolutely obsessed with self-realization and realization of God within and finding my inner voice, my inner guidance, and experiencing this inner state of bliss, this inner connection. So at that point, I went to India. And I was living with a divine avatar. An avatar is the incarnation of what they call a god in a form. It's basically a very, very, very highly evolved master or divine being. And I was living in that ashram, and I was guided very strongly through my inner voice to leave the ashram and to go on a self-retreat in Goa, India. And already mystical things were happening to me. So many mystical things. I'd had the spontaneous opening of the heart where I felt flooded with tears and bliss and ecstasy. And I was singing and dancing this sort of in this ecstatic state of bliss. And that had been going for a year, almost a year now. And I was starting to see and hear this divine voice in everything. And I was starting to really feel that there was no coincidences and that everything was happening for a reason. And I was starting to see people in a light of, you know, come on, underneath all that shadow, you know, let's bring out that love. Uh-huh. Let's bring forth that divinity. Let's, you know, awaken the heart. And so this was all beginning, but I still hadn't had that experience of merging or union where I really experienced the oneness of the self, the divine self. And so I went to a rock in Goa one night. Wow. under the full moon. Yeah. And I went on a strike. I went on a strike and I said, okay, I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to go back to my life. I'm not going to go back into the world. I'm just going to stay here until I experience what the mystics have experienced, what they talk about. Huh. And I said, I sort of give up on my life. I'm done with the 3D matrix. And at that point, I heard the still small voice within me, just a little voice said, get up and go back to your cabin. And I said, okay, that's clear guidance. So I got up, I went back to my cabin, and that was it. That's where I had my awakening. I went, do you want to hear about the awakening?
Yeah, definitely.
But you didn't stay in a cave in Goa. I know there are a lot of caves there where people were meditating.
No, I didn't stay in a cave.
Okay.
Right. That's something back. You would do, Rob.
Did that in Greece.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Did you meditate in a cave in Greece?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yes. Well, we'll have to meditate together. That'd be great. Yes. I'm all for getting us all together to meditate. So I went into my little cabin on the beachfront in Goa, and all of a sudden, I started to have the most amazing visions, and I saw all of my past lives flash through very, very, very fast. And then I saw my future lives flash through so fast, but I couldn't grasp actually the future ones. And then I started experiencing what Jesus or Yeshua experienced at the moment of his awakening. And then I started experiencing what Buddha experienced. And then I started experiencing what Krishna experienced. And then I started going through all these divine masters and seeing through their eyes what they experienced in their awakening state or in their awakened state. And then all of a sudden, I started to laugh and cry when I realized I am not this body. I am not this form. I am not this actor. And I said, I just saw that I became like the cosmic consciousness. I became the spirit that was in everything, in everyone. And I was not located to this form. And I felt this liberation from the form and liberation from the body and liberation from the matrix. And it was literally like I became the cow in the field. I became the daisy. I became the sky, the cloud, the wind, the rain, the air, the ether, the earth, every single thing. I was inside of it as it. And it was this all-knowing, all-seeing access to all of the past records of all creation, omnipresent knowledge, universal knowledge, where you know, anything you want to know, there's access. And we all have these abilities. We are all that. This is nothing special about me whatsoever. We are all this. And we all have that ability and consciousness. And that's who we really are. But we are locked into these forms where we forget. We forget again and again, and we have to awaken again and again, right?
How long does this experience last?
Eight weeks. I had to tell my hand to lift the fork to eat the food because I was as much the food as I was the fork, as I was the hand, as I was the, you know, the essence of what made the food. I was seeing humans as blue gods and goddesses. I was seeing their thoughts curling out of their heads in golden streamers. I could see that they had forgotten who they are. And I could see why we all came here and what the purpose of life was. And it is to awaken to our soul. And I was able to then also see that we come from this absolute pure consciousness that's in everything. And I could hear the divine voice speaking through everything, everyone, everywhere. And it was so exquisite. And after 8 weeks in that state, I had could only see form, all form, as vibrating golden light.
Wow.
And I could just see the form through the vibrating golden light. And that took about 2 years to wear off after that, wow, before I could see solid form, because everything was made out of energy after that. It was just vibrating energy, and that was sort of taking a form, but I could see that it wasn't a form. It was just a denser expression of energy, right? And then after that, I said, okay, now that I've experienced this and I started to integrate it, well, it took 10, 15 years to integrate that. Because then it really started happening for that 10 to 15 years. It was once a week, every week I was in that state. But the rest of the time I was working on integrating it. And then I said, okay, now I want to experience the dimensions. I've experienced the absolute. Now I want to know about the inner worlds, the inner planes, the inner dimensions. And that's where I started to really go in and discover what happens after death, what happens between lifetimes, what happens in other lifetimes, how do you influence this lifetime, how do you heal a human being with the light, because I was shown how to take the light down or bring the light down and ignite the light into people's hearts and into their bodies and then heal the human physiology with a higher vibrational frequency. And I was being shown all these techniques and technologies from spirit of how to transform human consciousness, how to heal the body, how to awaken the soul, how to carry the soul from death through life, you know, the life in between lifetimes on earth or other realms. And so I went through then about a, you know, since 1992 until now, I've been studying on the inner planes with my higher self and guides, all about the mystical experiences and worlds and so forth. And, I still continue to be the eternal student. Every time I do a private session or a private healing, I'm as amazed as anybody else because I'm learning so much from it.
Now, during that 8 weeks, did you leave your cabin?
During that 8 weeks, I basically was there for the majority of it. And then for a short period of it, I went to the Sri Aurobindo Ashram, Auroville. A lot of people know Auroville. And then I returned back to South Africa. And so the 8 weeks were spent actually all of it was in India. Then I came back to the West and had to integrate it in South Africa with my family and into society. And that was the interesting, challenging part.
I bet.
Yeah.
So when did you adopt the name Mirabai Devi?
Yes. So I adopted that name in the year 1999, I moved to North America on spirit calling, divine guidance. I was asked to come here in 1997. And I was asked to come here and work with people throughout the United States and to help them and activate, awaken, heal. And during that period, I met a Swami disciple. Well, she's actually not technically a Swami because she's married. And the Swami met me, and she was a disciple of Swami Satchidananda, the great yoga master, who I met about 20 different times. And she named me. She named me Mirabai Devi.
Interesting.
And when she said it, everything just kind of clicked internally. And why? Because Mirabai was the embodiment of devotion, pure devotion. Mm-hmm. So it's like pure devotion or pure love to the divine. So my path I would say it's all about love. You know, everything I teach, everything I share, everything I express is about being the living example of love. and that how through love we can heal ourselves through being love. And through being love and loving ourselves and taking care of ourselves, and by loving others, all beings, and seeing all life as sacred, we're able to move into a different state of consciousness. And it's a very quick path because we're tapping into reality. The reality is what's underlying all things is love. And so that's why the name really resonated with me.
How did you end up at the Light Center in Sarasota? I mean, given your...
Oh, that was through invitation from a friend.
Oh, okay. Because yes. Susan Yantorno says, you got to have her on your show. She's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, Susan Yantorno had a wonderful healing and so did her husband.
Yeah, she told me.
Oh, great. Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, so a friend, an old friend that I knew from Boston moved to Sarasota.
Okay.
And then she found the Light Center and then she got me in there to give talks. Right. That's how it happened. Yeah.
Because given the way you travel around, I thought, wow, how'd she end up in Sarasota? It's remarkable. Yeah.
Yes. So, well, I've been traveling the US and based in the US since 1997. I really moved here, but things have just opened. Well, actually, I can't say that. Things have always kept going in South Africa. So I've kept my groups and my private sessions in South Africa, but I'm there pretty much 2 months out of the year every year. With people there. Yes, Rob.
Yeah, I noticed you have a very American way of speaking English rather than the British. So you have been here quite a while then. Traveling.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I got here in 1997 and I've been living in Hawaii for 18 years. I'm in Hawaii right now. Yes, that's why it was 7 a.m.
Right. So, yeah. So I wanted to ask you though, when you heal people, are you actually triggering them to heal themselves? Is that the process or how does that work? What do you think people heal themselves actually, or are you doing the healing? That's my question. Yeah.
Right. Yes. So technically the process is the light that I'm transmitting is triggering that person's vibration to lift up to a resonance that's a high enough frequency where they're accessing the ability, their own ability to experience their wholeness or their wellness or their divine integrity. And that then returns or restores whatever is being held in an illness or diseased state to a healed state.
Is there
It's an alchemy.
Is there anything you can't heal? It's karmic or.
Yes. So that's a separate issue to what I can't heal. So when I say I mean the divine light through me, right? Because I am the channel. I'm the conduit. Let's always own the fact that we are, you know, as once we're in human form, we're not fully it, right? The divine self, the divine light is it, does the healing. I fully surrendered my life on that rock in 1992. So now I am fully the instrument. I devoted my whole life to it for 30 years. what happens when something doesn't get healed is usually there's two reasons. The one is the causal realm, the karma hasn't been cleared. So when you go into the causal realm and you see the cause of the karma and you address it with the person, and they're able to work through it, then sometimes it does heal on the physical, more often than not. Occasionally it doesn't, and people struggle with that. And so it's either that they're not ready or there's something more that hasn't yet come to the surface to be discovered. So that's the main way that I address it. The other way is that often the emotional body is clogged up with anger or rage or depression or trauma, and they're frozen, stuck, numb, right? Mm-hmm. And then you bring the light, well, they don't transform, they don't heal. I'm sure a lot of the audience recognizes this. Mm-hmm. So what I do with this is I take them into the block and have them release and feel. And when they can release and feel the block, whatever that trauma or strong emotion is, when they feel that, and allow that to move through them in waves. One, two, three, four, whatever times, six, whatever times it takes, then they open. And then
how
they
do you
open
do that?
Through just by feeling it, by leading them into feeling it, literally, and breathing into it through breath work and emotional process work. And then the plug comes out. And then the torrent comes out of all the trauma or emotion that they feel in that moment. But it's not so much about the story, although I do let people see the story. Mm. It's more about getting to the biochemical under the emotion. Because the biochemical is what's making them sick or blocked or trapped or depressed. Uh-huh. And when you get into the biochemical and you release the biochemical, what follows that biochemical of anger or resentment or rage or grief or hurt or heartbreak, whatever it is, when you release that, or pure pain, when you release that, you know that expression from C.S. Lewis, there's no way out but through. When you go into it and you focus on it, it releases. And then what comes from underneath it is this huge sense of relief or awareness around feeling light. And then people always say, oh, I feel much light. I feel so light. I feel so light, I'm going to float. And that's when they'll take in the healing.
Huh. Now, have you ever worked on sick animals?
A lot.
How does that work? I mean, since animals don't have the same type of consciousness.
Yeah. How it works. Well, first of all, animals are much more receptive to the light because they're less complicated.
Right.
So they heal really rapidly. So we've kept cats alive for 2-3 years longer than they've been given a sentence that they're going to die by the veterinary, you know, clinic. And dogs, kept them alive for years longer, you know, seen them heal all kinds of conditions and things very rapidly. And it's simple with them. There's no mind in the way. Huh. With humans, it takes longer because the mind is in the way, right?
Yeah. Hmm. Let me ask you a question, like a little different kind of question. Our daughter's dog or our daughter's cat is lost. And,
that's what we were talking about when you came on.
She's moaning about her lost cat. And she doesn't live. She had to go home to Orlando. And so she's counting on us to try to find her cat. And we think it is. But do you have any sense of whether that cat will ever return? It's been a week now. I don't know if you answer questions like that, but.
And where is the location? Is it like,
he's
not
across
in
the street?
He's a quarter of a mile away, but across a busy street.
Across a busy street.
And with two fences, two fences to deal with too. So
he got spooked in our yard and took off.
Yeah.
One night.
I think a possum chased him.
Yeah.
And when you say two fences that he had to get through,
our fence
or what?
He probably had to jump over ours, which cats can do. But the other one across the street, he had to go around by the canal to get around that, I would
think.
Find
an opening.
Yeah, to find an opening.
But he's been sighted over there. We've got all these eyes of kids who are seeing him. We put up flyers. So he's been sighted.
I'm just getting a no, like a no that he is not dead. He is not crossed.
Okay.
Good.
He's still alive.
That's good.
Yeah. No, he's not dead. No, he's still alive.
What can we do?
So that's really good.
Yeah, that's wonderful. How can we bring him back?
Does he have, he doesn't have a bell around his neck or anything like that? Okay, yeah.
He's a microchip.
Okay, and you've walked the whole area and called?
Yeah, we put out many times. And we have humane cages we put out. We have two of them. And we've got a raccoon. And we've caught a look-alike cat last night. The one that came over to near our house too. And, no, you're the wrong cat.
Oh no! Yeah, I would say that from the calling of his he's a boy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. From calling his name and just sitting out there and going further and further out, and then putting something on, like something like an app, like next door, and then calling him from the heart, right from the heart, and then also the food, like bringing food out there, and to just keep, to just rely on the eyes of the neighborhood, and ask everybody in the neighborhood to bring him in. It just feels to me like he's scared. He's yeah. very scared, and it feels like he's hiding and skittish, a bit skittish.
Yeah. And it's been kind of an interesting experience for us too, because that neighborhood across the street is kind of has been known as a crime ridden place and dangerous, and people on our side of the street aren't the kids aren't supposed to walk through there to get to school. And but we've gone over there and just met the greatest people, you know, and they're very friendly and helpful, you know, and calling us about sighting the cat, you know. It's been a real surprise.
I would say you've brought a lot of positive energy and seen that reflected back to you. But I feel that he's not totally starving. He has been fed two or three times is what I see in the last week. By the kindness of strangers.
That's good. Maybe we need to go farther back and put up more flyers.
I just hope he's still outside, though, and not being held in a house that we can't, that he can't get out.
Right. Yeah, that I couldn't tell you. But what I can feel is that he's alive, and I feel that he's healthy. He just feels really frightened. Not frightened because he's being intimidated, but just he's outside of his environment, his comfort zone. It's possible. But I think that just putting the word out to neighbors everywhere and more and more and more, to spread the word that even if he is in someone's house, a neighbor would know or notice.
And we just keep putting up flyers, right?
Flyers are good. Uh-huh. Yeah, flyers are good. Yeah, I will pray for him to return.
His name
for
Indy.
You to find him.
His name is Indy.
Indy.
Okay,
after
Indy.
Indiana Jones.
Oh, beautiful, Indy. Yeah. And what color is he?
He's gray.
Brown and kind of gray, brown and white. Yeah, very mostly fluffy. White, but then, you know, and fluffy with brownish gray hair mixed in with the white.
Okay. Well, send me a photo of him and I'll start to call him in energetically too.
Oh, good.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. Another question.
You're welcome.
What are some of the more common issues that you've seen in your work with many different peoples as you travel around the world?
I would say the most common issue that I'm seeing is heartbreak and anger around the status of what's happening in the world. I think so many people are giving up and depressed, or other people are angry and frustrated with the chaos, the mess, the wars, you know, and all the politics and injustices. So what I see is that everybody seems to be so heated around, you know, what's happening. And I feel that a lot of people are, if they're not doing their soul's journey consciously and working consciously with the alchemy of the negativity that's happening in the world, and the negativity they're feeling around what's happening in the world, then it's sort of eating people alive is what I'm seeing.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it's a tough time for all of us on the planet.
A lot of people who have a whole different alternative reality of what's going on, it seems, at least politically. I mean, it's not like they see the glass half empty or half full. Mm-hmm. They don't even see the glass.
Exactly. That's right. Well said. They're missing the plot. Yes. But that's the thing is that the movie is so convincing, I would say, and the negativity is so strong, but this is the opportunity, right? This is the opportunity to really up your spiritual practice, your meditation, your breath work, your affirmations, your mantras, your prayers, and move inward, move inside into a place of understanding that, you know, we are creating our own reality, even though we can't see it, even though we don't know it. For the most part, people are in an unconscious place. And so what's happening on the outside is very triggering for people if they get hooked into seeing it as all that there is. Yeah. But if we understand that actually karma from other timelines plays itself out back and forth and back and forth, civilizations rise and fall, right? This planet has been wiped, you know, not gone, the planet, but, you know, hurricanes and tsunamis and ice ages and great floods. And we've rebuilt and reset civilization after civilization. I've seen it in my visions. I've seen the earth since the beginning of time. over its entire evolution and all the civilizations that have come and gone, I've seen in my visions. And if people could understand that and recognize that we can't necessarily change what's happening on the outside, but we can change what's happening inside of us and the way we relate to it and what we bring to it. And we can each do our part. Like, you guys are doing this amazing podcast and you're bringing on all these luminaries to educate and awaken people to mystical facts and to these other realities that exist that most people don't even know about or haven't even heard of. You know, you're doing a huge service. So if we can each do our part and bring our part to the foreground, whatever that is, whether it's, you know, feeding an elder or, you know, smiling at a lonely, depressed person, or, you know, working at a, you know, pantry, a food pantry, or whether it's, you know, doing nonprofit work or whatever it is we can do, some kind of service work, serving our parent or any kind of our elder parent, any kind of service work or giving back or contribution helps to lift up our life. And then going within with those spiritual practices I mentioned and being able to move into a positive place no matter what's happening in the world around us and utilize your energy instead of using it to fight,
right?
Use it to contribute and to help and to uplift and to inspire and to pray and to meditate for raising global consciousness and for awakening humanity and for helping with this ascension process. There is tremendous amount of darkness on the planet right now, but there's more light here than ever before. And if we focus on the light, if we focus on the light and that the light is just shedding its light on these old archaic negative draconian systems that need to crumble and fall. And that are crumbling and falling. And that's in the process of them gripping on for dear life, you know, kicking and screaming because they don't want to leave. As the light gets stronger on the earth, and really we all are moving into this, we're all being affected by this. And I say this today on Easter Sunday, we're all being moved into the Christ consciousness awakening. Yeah. We're all being asked to step into compassion, empathy, love, and greater understanding and recognizing that what we do to others is what we're doing to ourselves. How we treat others is how we treat ourselves. And if we're hurting others, we're really ultimately hurting ourselves, and that every thought, word, and action counts because we're literally creating our own movie. We can uncreate so much of the negativity and negative karma we've created by turning it around. And that's what I see everywhere is people suffering physically. I see so many people going through the portal and leaving the planet. The death portal has been open, especially did you see that on the last equinox and on the solstice, how many souls left? So many souls left the earth.
Now we have a solar eclipse coming up.
And now we're going from the lunar eclipse into the solar eclipse. And this is such a very important time. So yeah, I see people dealing with all that suffering.
Yeah, Mira.
And interestingly hold on a second. Astrologically, this has to do, I think, with Pluto entering Aquarius for the first time in almost 250 years. You know, Pluto is the god of the underworld. It cleans out everything that's hidden.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. And that's what's happening right now. We have to be willing to face our shadow, but we also have to be willing to face the pain.
Right.
Yeah. As I was saying earlier.
Yeah, and as you're saying that, I want to ask you, are you outside or something? Or
No, I have I'm inside, but I have the beautiful Maui sunlight of the morning just streaming in through the window. Yeah,
we're seeing reflections of light and shadow across your flickering across your faces.
Yes. As you're talking about light and shadow, you know, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's the beautiful Maui morning sun. I'm just off to the Temple of Peace to speak at their Easter Sunday service and to do a light transmission for the Maui community. And it's a beautiful, glorious day here in Hawaii.
Now, is that community slowly rebuilding?
Yes, very slowly. Yeah, it's a slow process. It's going to take a long time, but they're definitely working on it. The main thing is what to do with the ash right now from the fire, because there's so much toxin. It's so toxic. So they're trying to figure that part out to make sure it's safe. for the people. So it doesn't, you know, we don't want it to leach into the ocean and whatnot.
Right. Right. Now, what were you doing in Arizona? Because when your friend Paula wrote me, she says, oh, she's in Mirrors in Arizona doing work. So
yes.
Were you in the desert?
I was outside of Sedona at a new retreat center that my friends are building out. And they're going to do a beautiful retreat center. They just bought it recently, and they're setting it up for retreats and an eco village and a well and off the grid with solar and all kinds of fun things. So I'm a part of that.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Do you have any travels coming up?
Yes, I'm off to London and Glastonbury in 2 weeks. Very excited about that.
That should be interesting.
Yes, yes. Talking of mysticism, Glastonbury is a very mystical place.
Exactly, right, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How often are you home? Because it seems to me you've been traveling a lot just since I've been trying to get in touch with you ever since Susan had mentioned you.
Yes, I've been, I came back. The last time I was in Hawaii was the beginning of October 2023.
Wow. Okay.
And I just got back in late March. So I've been gone to South Africa, Arizona, Virginia, California, Oregon, and a bunch of other places. Yeah, I teach a lot, travel a lot. This is my dharma, my mission, my passion. So I'm always happy when I'm home in Hawaii, but I'm also happy in many other places because it's a wonderful service, you know, to work with different communities around the world.
Yeah. So you do you do Zoom healings as well as personal
yes.
healings?
Okay. Yes, I do my healings every day on Zoom as one-on-one, mainly 1 hour private healing sessions. Mm-hmm. So I do intuitive readings and light work and energy work with people on a daily basis from all over the world. And then I do my group healings online on Zoom. And then I do teachings online. You know, I do all kinds of different topics, teleconferences with the light transmissions, the meditations, and all the spiritual tools and practices that I teach as well.
Well, so tell people how they can get in touch with you and sign up for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, so thank you. So people can go to my website, which is Mirabai, MIRABAIDEVI, Davi.org, MirabaiDavi.org. And they can also, of course, call my office, which is 760-216-1029, or text. Okay. And on my website are all my classes and programs and workshops and online on Zoom and the private sessions. And also all the different various offerings that I give and my calendar of which cities I'm in on my tour. Because I'm regularly touring since May 2022. I've been constantly on tour since the pandemic. You know, we officially opened the gates. I was out.
Question, what do you feel the purpose of that pandemic was?
Oh, that's a big question. Well, I mean, I think it means different things to different people. Uh-huh. For me, it was about all of humanity going in and being forced inward to find a deeper level of awakening and coming out of being asleep to what's really going on the planet right now. So it's like people are walking around with wool over their eyes, you know, being sheep. And this pandemic, you know, ripped the veils off. Pulled the wool off people's eyes and got them to really wake up to what's going on and to their own awakening and to pay far greater attention to what they're doing it, how they're doing it, how we're contributing on the planet and what we're doing with our own health and how to boost our own immunity and our own health. And this certainly led me into discovering all kinds of wonderful technologies like ozone and hydrogen and various types of cutting edge technologies like the frequency machines and things like that that we can use to really super boost our health as well as like nutrition and the vitamin IVs and things like that. There's so much we can do to heal our bodies and to help clear the toxins from the environment and the pollution and the plastics and the viral loads that are going around. It just drives us into a far deeper fervor or passion for working on our health. And so that's where it led. That's where it led me, and to lead my community into so much more access to the greatest, latest technologies that are available for us.
I have one final question for you, Mira.
More questions.
when you arrived on this planet at this time, as you told us, you were not a happy camper. You're not a happy baby. How do you feel now about being here, having spent these decades here?
Oh, that's a great question.
Are you disappointed? Are you disappointed that you're here?
Look, I love people, and I love being in service to people, and I love seeing people transforming right in front of my eyes and getting healed and seeing miracles and demonstrating miracles are real and miracles are possible and that the light is real and that there's this whole other dimension that's hidden, dimensions that are hidden behind the veils. And so when I'm doing my Dharma and living my purpose, I'm so happy. I'm in so much joy. I feel the creative force moving through me all the time. I'm constantly downloading more guidance, more visions, more ideas of how to present the information to people through, you know, things like podcasts and writings and teachings and audio recordings. I have hundreds of audio recordings of my channel teachings and things like that. So I'm just passionate about life right now.
Yeah. But there are more evolved realms that you could be in. That we could all be in. We'd like to.
Yes, we'd like to. So this is how I look at it. Mission Planet Earth. I'm here on a mission. I'm here on a mission. This is the station. I've been sent here for a purpose. And as long as I'm here, with every breath, I'm going to serve until my last breath. And then I'm so looking forward to being in the higher dimensions and the higher realms. And also just remember, we can be in heaven on the earth, because heaven is a state of consciousness, okay? It's the state of consciousness that we are in once we move through a lot of our karma and we move into that place where we're connected inside to the light. And when we're connected to the light and our life is led, guided, and directed, we can be in heaven on the earth, but we sure are seeing a lot of things that don't reflect heaven on the earth. So yes, I would say, yes, I'm looking forward to higher realms.
Right. Thank you.
Oh, this has just been great.
This has been great.
This has been wonderful.
Thanks for joining the Mystical Underground. Visit www.themysticalunderground.com for the latest blog post and book info. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Listen to the podcast at podcast.themysticalunderground.com. Follow Trish and Rob on Instagram at Trish and Rob McGregor. Follow us on Twitter at The Mystic Cast. Send email to podcast@themysticalunderground.com. And until next week, thank you for listening and stay mystical.